Hello and welcome to another Pastor's Roundtable. I'm your host this week, Ronnie Hull, and don't fear, we do have Josh Squires with us, but he is at home in quarantine. But we do have four of our five pastors with us. Gabe is away this week. And the question, it's a second part in a three-part series. Our question today is, how did you know you were interested in the ministry? And so let's begin with Dr. Thomas. Dr. Thomas, how did you know you were interested in the ministry?
Hey, Ronnie, good to see you. We need to talk about that beard, though. As I think we were talking last week, so much has happened since then, I can't quite remember. But I got saved in university, first year of university, and within a few months, I had a desire. I knew nothing. I was raised in a very secular home, so I just began to pour myself into reading the scriptures. But the Christian Union that I belonged to and later became president of was very reformed. And the series, the very first series that I sort of walked into was the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. And they were studying Charnock. I mean, these are college students. And I sort of grew in positions of leadership in the Christian Union in that first year and a half, 2 years, to the point where I was then conducting Bible studies and leading the meetings and began to think more and more that what I really wanted to be, you know, was a preacher. And, you know, back in 1972, 73, being a preacher in Britain was a very narrowly defined job description. Ministry in the United States in 2020, there are, you know, an entire variety of things that you can do in a multi-staff church that isn't, you know, the solo minister. And all I had in my head at the time was the typical solo minister. And I was given two books to read that were diametrically opposite in terms of how they presented how you discern a call to the ministry. One was Ed Clowney, and I've forgotten the title of the book now, but my colleagues here will have read the book. And it was a short little paperback, but Clowney's point of view basically was that if you have the gifts, you are duty-bound to use them. If somebody points out to you, you know, you are gifted in teaching and preaching and leadership, then the wrath of God is going to come down upon you if you don't use those gifts. And Spurgeon was the other thing that I read, and Spurgeon was the opposite. Spurgeon said that unless you have an inner sense of call that outweighs every other consideration, you should not enter the ministry. So I had these two polar opposite points of view, but actually, in my case, I had both of them. I mean, I did have an inner conviction, and I was constantly being told by others, you know, you should head for the ministry. I mean, I was 21, 22 years of age before I went to seminary, but I was probably 19 or 20 when I was reading these books, and, you know, naive and ministry is going to be wonderful and rosy. And I did one final thought that, you know, when I proposed to my wife, I did say to her, and I think I said it as bluntly as this, you know, I'm going to be a minister, and if you can't live with that, then this relationship has no future. Something like that. Those are my sort of proposal words. The last of the great romantics.
You're such a charmer, Derek.
Absolutely. I haven't lost any of it.
How could she ever resist that?
And the rest is history. She said yes. Thank you, Derek. And yeah, I appreciate your time. And as David is letting me know, that's the Ed Clowney Call to the Ministry book. And I did have to read that too. It's a good book. Brian, how about you? How did you know you were called to the ministry?
Hey, thank you, Ronnie. It was while I was a college student that I began to get a sense of sort of a general call to some form of ministry. I didn't really have any specific sense of what that looked like at the time. But after graduation, my first job was teaching and coaching basketball at my alma mater. And I really considered that my ministry at the time, and thoroughly enjoyed discipling the young men that I coached. And little did I know that the Lord was preparing me through that for future ministry, I believe. Around that time, Michelle and I landed in a PCA church in Mullins. I was raised Baptist. She was raised Methodist. So naturally, we landed in a PCA church. And it excelled in at least two areas. One was warm fellowship, very, very warm, hospitable church. And the second was just crystal clear teaching on the doctrines of grace. And we went through a class on the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the lights just were flipped on theologically. And my interest in scripture really skyrocketed during that time. And my pastor, whom I greatly admired, recognized this sort of appetite for the Bible in me and encouraged me to take a seminary class. And the thought of being a pastor at the time was a bit daunting and a little scary. But he said, you don't have to commit to being a preacher. Just go and learn as much as you can about the Bible and see where that leads. See how the Lord uses that. But I remember him saying to me that if you did choose to be a pastor, that you'd be a good one. And that was an incredible vote of confidence for me as sort of this young Timothy who was filled with self-doubts and insecurities and so forth, for this Paul that I greatly admired and looked up to and respected quite a bit to tell me, you know, I can see you doing this down the road and doing it in such a way that glorifies God and helps people know Jesus. And that was a great encouragement to me at that time. I thoroughly enjoyed my time at seminary, just to be able to immerse myself in the study of God's word and systematic theology taught by brilliant and godly men was quite a privilege and a blessing and a thrill. And by the Lord's grace, during that time, I was able to serve as an intern at the Due West ARP Church while I was going through seminary. And that gave me this wide gamut of ministry experiences to explore, from VBS to college ministry to retirement center visitation, everything in between. And I really got to see what aspects of ministry I had an inclination for and what aspects I, you know, probably better leave to others. And the body of Christ really figured into my call to ministry as it came to more of a focus point during that time. So I went from a broad sense of wanting to serve the Lord in some way to a much sharper point of here's what it means and looks like to preach and teach the word of God and love people and help people with their problems and help people to know Jesus. And the congregation there, which was largely made up of seminary and college deans and professors, could have been so critical of me as an early sort of stumbling intern, making tons of mistakes. But instead, they were so affirming, so encouraging to me, recognizing my strengths and telling me about those strengths and kindly and gently showing me where I needed to improve and get help. So really, it was through the means of grace, through prayer, through the Lord's word, and through the body of Christ, that by the time I graduated, I knew that pastoral ministry was what the Lord would have me to do. And looking back, I'm often struck by the similarities between coaching in my young adult years to pastoring and what I'm doing now. And that never ceases to astound me, the way the Lord equips us in whatever we're doing for future ministry effectiveness. I praise the Lord for that.
Thank you, Brian. And David, how about you? How did you know the Lord is calling you to ministry?
Thanks, Josh. Thank you, Ronnie. I really, great to be with you. You know what? Just cut all that out. I don't know. I usually don't have to crate y'all to have to crate too many slides.
I'm leaving that
this
in.
This is good comic relief. Thanks, Ronnie. We're so glad to have you with us today. My story about the call to ministry, I don't think I've shared it with the church family. I think some of you as pastors know parts of it, but it has a lot to do with our own congregation. when I was in, during college, I was involved in campus ministry with InterVarsity. And after graduating from college, I responded to an opportunity and a desire to be part of campus ministry at the University of South Carolina. So I graduated from college on a Friday. I moved to Columbia, living not too far from Five Points on Saluda Avenue on the Saturday. The current youth director of First Pres helped me kind of find my housing. And then on the Sunday, I visited First Pres. And that Sunday, actually it was a while back, it was June of 83, was a new minister's first Sunday, Glenn Connect. And Glenn is such a great man of the Lord, a love for Christ and the scriptures, a faithful preacher and a warm pastor's heart. I knew that this is where I should be. And so became very much involved in the church while also being involved in campus ministry at USC. Eventually, by the fall, Ann moved to Columbia to attend nursing school. We were friends from Emory. We had not yet engaged, but our relationship was heading in that direction. And after we were engaged, the fall of that year, actually Glenn Connect did our premarital counseling. But it was a great opportunity, being involved in campus ministry, being here at First Pres, through being involved with the dear folk of our congregation, by God's grace, a deepening love for the church. I was privileged to be part of ministry on campus, but I also had a growing appreciation for the church and for what Christ was doing in this particular congregation and through his church that he was building and expanding. And so Dr. Connect, Dr. Mark Ross, just through spending time with them, asking a lot of questions, building a relationship with them, I received some encouragement from them and a few others to consider pastoral ministry. And that kind of led me to attend seminary. Prior to attending, there was this inner desire and drive. You know, even though I might mess up with something, maybe not the best teacher, or maybe not say the exact right thing in an evangelistic situation, perhaps there was that deep desire for ministry, for seeking to do something to promote the cause of Christ and help others in the church. So for me, it was that growing inner desire that received some confirmation by my pastors and elders. I never would have imagined that 20 years later, I would be back at the same church as one of the pastors. It's a great privilege and blessing and a very humbling thing to be back to the very place where I sensed that desire for ministry.
Thank you, David. It's amazing to see the twists and turns in life and how the Lord almost has a sense of humor sometimes. Brings you right back to where you began. All right, Josh, how about you? How did you know you were interested in the ministry?
Yeah, my story of how I got into ministry, at least called the ministry, is a pretty long and winding road. It's more than a decade, really, from the time that there were hints that maybe I might go into ministry to the point where I was convinced that, yeah, that's where the Lord was taking me. So, you know, I was an early vocation guy. I had started in IT when I was 15. And so by the time I was saved and I was 23, I already had 8 years in IT. I was a systems engineer for a Fortune 100 company. They were paying for me to go back to school to get on an upper management track. Had already stood before a boardroom and proposed a multi-million dollar project that I was responsible for. And so that was like, that's where I was headed. I was headed towards director, VP, IT sort of stuff. And in the midst of that, I got saved. We talked about that last week. And then as we plugged into a church, so we plugged into the church right about the same time I got converted. They do what a lot of like medium-sized churches that are looking for anyone they can to volunteer do, which is the moment we joined and became members, said, hey, we need a adult male to help out with our middle school kids. So kind of got voluntold by the minister to help out with the middle school kids. And that was fantastic. And it really was good for me to give back, to be plugged into the church that way. And there was a level of fulfillment there that I really was not receiving in my IT career. And as I accrued, it kind of came up on 8, 9, 10 years in that vocation and still was not satisfying, but working in the church was, began to realize that I was drawn more to people than I was to machines. Melanie, being my wife, being an HR person, she was like, look, I think you really care more about people. You should look at counseling. She happened to find RTS's, Marriage and Family Therapy Program, knew that I was interested in Reformed theology, that I liked people, that I was becoming interested in counseling and psychology. And so she helped kind of point me down that track and so got off the IT track altogether. Was in school, switched my major, changed to psychology, moved down to Jackson, went to RTS, got the counseling degree, began counseling. So that's kind of one major step towards ministry, but still didn't feel like I was called to be a minister. When I would talk with my fellow seminarians on kind of the other side of the street, that's they were on the theology side where I was on the counseling side, they would sometimes ask like, well, you know, aren't you going to do both? Because I was Derek's TA, which was relatively rare for a counseling guy to be Derek's TA. And so they just assumed I was doing the dual counseling MDiv. I was like, no, like I'm a sinner. Like I know you guys say you're sinners, but I'm actually a sinner. So I can't be a minister, you know? And you know, they would challenge me on that and I would say, yeah, whatever. And so then I went and did counseling for a couple of years. And I was doing counseling and serving at the church at First Jackson, just as a volunteer, and then served as the president of my Sunday school class for about a year, and also began to feel like, okay, counseling, I like counseling, but I don't want to be in a separate brick and mortar somewhere. I want to be in the church. I want to be more integrated into the church, and I want to be more centrally a part of God's word, getting God's word to people's lives. And I want that to be what I do. That's where I found safety within God's word. And so I really began to kind of talk about that with people. And I had meetings with Ligon and Derek and the dean of students at RTS and kind of asked them all three, like, what do you think? This is what I'm struggling with. And all three of them said, I think you're probably sensing an internal call and you need to go back and get your MDiv. At which point, Melanie almost shot me because she was – she was, you know, supporting me going back to school for the third time. She's now supporting me going back to school for the fourth time. So that wasn't even the end. But the third time, she supported me going back to school. But even then, even when I went for my MDiv and I started my internship at First Jackson, I still was not sure if I was called. Part of my goal in the internship was to shore up whether or not I was called. And two things really helped there. One, just before I came on as an intern, I was nominated as a deacon at First Jackson. And being nominated, similar to the nomination process here, it took three people to nominate someone or more before their name would appear on the ballot. And I had told Melanie not to nominate, right? So I didn't want her feeling like she was somehow obligated to nominate her husband, as sometimes happens. So three people who I don't know and still don't know nominated me, and I don't know if more did. And so that was a sense of like there were people out there who externally thought I was called. And then I started having a monthly lunch with two elders, and I said, I want you guys to have an intimate view into my life. I will tell you everything I'm struggling with, what you see at all. You can ask any question. Nothing's off limits. And I'm going to preach and teach in front of you guys. So I got in front of their Sunday school class regularly, invited them whenever I preach to come listen. And I need you to help me decide if you sense a calling on my life. If I have an internal call, you can help me with external call and let's put that together. And it took about a year and a half before I was finally convinced. So I was probably only about 6 months from when I joined here that I had really firmed up, yes, I'm called to be a pastor. Right. So from the time I was 22 until I was 35, 36, something like that. That's how long it took to go from there's an inkling maybe I'm called to being assured that I really do think the Lord is calling me.
But you approach that like a true engineer. You weren't trusting your feelings or relying on them too hard, were you? You said, I know what code is. What is this calling you're talking about?
Right.
Cool. Josh, would you mind closing this episode?
Absolutely. Would love to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you use broken vessels, even broken vessels like us, for the benefit of your people and your church. We cannot fathom or understand why you should choose us and not others. And yet, Lord, we ask that you would help us to live up to the call to which you call us, to be those who would point beyond ourselves, who in our character and in our actions and our thoughts, we would be pointing people beyond ourselves and to our loving Savior, Jesus. And if we're honest, Lord, we fall down on those calls every single day. So forgive us and let us in that forgiveness know your grace and your mercy, and may that grace and mercy compel us, not excuse us, but compel us to be more and more like the men you call us to be as we shepherd your people. I thank you for the people here at First Pres and for their following their shepherds here. We thank you for Derek and his leadership as our over shepherd, our senior minister. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, the grand shepherd of the church, with whom, Lord, we are all just under shepherds. And so ask that you would help us all, that we would, might set our eyes upon Jesus and him alone, see the cross, have it uplifted, that you and your kingdom may be built up and you may be glorified. We love you and pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Good to
Thanks,
see you.
Thanks, Ronnie, for hosting.
You bet.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.